Gainesville, The Villages, 1370 AM, 96.3 FM, The Source.
All right, 25 minutes before 10 o'clock. Beautiful Friday. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm always amazed sometimes with the timing of the titles and the book subjects that we talk about. I don't want to bring something sad to the story, to the show, but this applies. I want to tell you, I lost a brother 2 weeks ago, and he was 66 years old, so he was in a car accident, and he was the only one involved. He was in the desert, his truck flipped, and so that was how he died. All his life, this was a car guy, my brother Bob. He loved cars. I can remember as a kid, he bought this old car with a crank-up thing. You know, you crank the engine. Uh-huh. I can't remember what it was called, but I remember as a kid, it was so cool, you crank the engine. All of his life, he was into cars, fixing them, riding them, driving them. You know, he in his garage when I went out to Arizona to be with him as he was in his last hours, we went to his garage, and he had an old 1937 something that he was rebuilding. So cars was his thing, right? So the title of our next guest's book is You Can't Drive Your Car to Your Own Funeral. So isn't that like almost like a message from God? We get this title, right?
Yes, it is.
Anne Marie Hancock wrote this. She's an award-winning journalist, a radio and TV personality, so she knows this whole game here. She's a talk show host herself. She loves volunteering. I think this is me, Robin. I'm going to be volunteering more than... I mean, we've done plenty. But when you have a full-time job, right?
Yes.
It's kind of hard.
But we fit it in all the time.
Well, one day I'm going to retire. I'm just going to say, you know what? You need me to help out? I can help out, right? let's see. This book is based on Anne Marie Hancock's 3-year journey of caring for her mother, who was terminally ill, and the spiritual and practical lessons she learned along the way. Oh, my gosh. I can't wait to hear about this. Anne Marie Hancock. Good morning, Anne Marie.
Good morning, Larry. I'm so happy to be talking with you and Robin, and so sorry to hear about your loss.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. That's really, I only brought it up, though, because it's just one of those coincidences that tells me maybe there's hope. You know, maybe there is a God, right?
There are no accidents in this lifetime. I believe almost every moment of every day is a God incident. And here we are today talking about your brother and talking about cars. And interestingly enough, just listening to you a minute ago, I was contemplating planning my mother's funeral. The whole family was gathered with the priest at St. Edward's here in Richmond, and he asked the question, what did your mother love? Give me some information. And the family, almost in unison, responded, her car. The priest was obviously horrified, and I think we horrified ourselves, everybody sitting there looking at each other.
Oh, I love that.
But the car is such an interesting symbol in dream interpretation, in psychology, even in Webster's dictionary. The car is the vehicle transporting both what? The body and the soul.
Yeah, yeah.
Going to or going away from something. And even the colors of the cars have meaning in dream interpretation. My mother's car was bright red, which is sort of an aggressive power, high energy color. And her license plate, I don't know if you're ready for this, because I've never seen one like it. Mom's license plate was PRRFCT. Perfect.
Is that her car on the cover of the book?
That is her car, but that's not my mother. And there's a reason for that. I'm just so happy that you brought that up, because I've been asked so many times since the book came out, is that your mom? And I said I deliberately chose not to put my mom in the car for one reason. This is a book for everybody. everybody who is dealing with a difficult person, could be your mom, could be your brother, could be your father, could be your boss, everybody without exception has a difficult person in their life. So this book is not a sad book, but it's a book about dealing with difficult people. It just so happened that my situation was one where my mom was terminal with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But the tools in the book apply to every situation. I've spent about 20 years praying with the sick, with the terminally ill, and primarily children. I have a deep love for children. I lost one myself many years ago.
Yeah, Robin was telling me that, by the way. Thank you.
Yes.
I'm so sorry.
And there are a lot of people right now, particularly our baby boomers, dealing with sick parents and aunts and uncles, and as it may happen, it falls to them to be caretakers. And so the question always remains, how do we do this with love, with compassion, with kindness, with humor, when the person is difficult? And it was a very, very humbling experience dealing with my mom.
Was she always difficult?
I loved her, Larry. I mean, I deeply love my mother, but with almost without exception, people who met her, including one of the surgeons who treated her, said, "I've never seen anything like this in my life. She's a piece of work."
So what? So we're laughing at that. I'm wondering, was it funny to the outside looking? Was it almost like a sitcom if you weren't so close?
You know, rereading my own book, which came from my journal that I kept, I never really planned to write about this, and I'm for the most part a pretty private person. I found tremendous humor and strength in rereading the stories about her. I'll give you an example, okay? I took mom to all her doctor's appointments, to the cancer surgeon, to the dentist, to the GP, to the oncologist, to the eye doctor, the CAT scans, to the MRIs. I get absolutely no prize for that. This is what we do
mm-hmm.
for the people we love. So that having been said, mom and I are mm-hmm. driving to what I thought was the heart surgeon one afternoon. And I always arrived on time. That was an issue with her. So we're driving down Charter Colony in Richmond, Virginia, and I hear, "Ann, you're a moron.
Oh,
you
no.
are an absolute moron.
Oh, no.
What is wrong with you?" Now, remember, I'm driving my car, and from that it went to, "You're wasting your husband's money. You're wasting your husband's gas." I said, "Mama, is something wrong?" And I pulled to the side of
her. Oh, man.
And she looked at me. "Yes, you're a moron." There it was again.
Oh, no.
I said, "Mom, you know, you're Irish, I'm Irish, and a couple years ago, I was in Ireland researching the family you call the Morans, and no one knew anything about them. And finally arrived in County Cork, and a gentleman, once again, I'm asking him about the Morans, and he said, 'Spell it.' And I did. And he said, 'It's pronounced moron. You're a moron.'"
Oh.
Oh, no.
So this is a true story. So I said to Mom, "Mom, if this is the case, we're all morons. Now, can we talk to the issue? Obviously, I'm doing something wrong." And she said, "I don't know where you're going. Today we're going to the GP and you're headed for the hospital." I said, "Mom, it's a simple thing. I'll turn the car around at the corner and we will head to Dr. Kapadia's. Now I want you to be peaceful and to relax." So the next day, We are with Dr. Kapadia. We pull up to Johnston Willis Hospital, and I said, Mama, I'm going to let you out at the door, okay? Because the elevator goes straight up, and you won't have to walk. My mother carried a cane with a saber in it. And my father gave her for Valentine's Day. She said, you never know when you need to protect yourself.
Exactly.
So now she's arguing with me and saying, I don't want to go in this way. I don't want to. Fine. That's fine. Tell me where you want to go in. The other way. I said, Mom, there are steps to get to the elevator and do what I tell you. She goes her way. I go mine. I park the car, and I'm rushing to get upstairs to the top floor to Dr. Kapadia. I get up there to see the heart doctor, and there's no Mama. And I'm starting to feel some anxiety. And all of a sudden, she emerges from the elevator with her sword and her cane. And what the is wrong with you people up here? A heart doctor on the top floor? I'll bet my blood pressure is off the chart. You people are all morons. You're morons.
Oh, my God.
Oh, not only was I a moron, but all the practitioners in Dr. Kapadia's office were morons. I buried my face in a newspaper, and Mom took her cane and is tapping it on there where you register to come in, saying, you drove my blood pressure up. You people are idiots up here. Who ever heard of a heart doctor on the top floor? And I personally just had a quiet vision of myself in the newspaper with an 88-year-old woman who took a rapier out and slayed the people in the cardiologist's office. But so Mom was difficult. And we had to change doctors several times because they would take me aside and quietly tell me, your mother is abusive. I would tell them, Mom is frightened. Mom is terrified. She doesn't mean to express like this. And I think therein was an important lesson for me, and maybe it'll help other people. When people strike out in anger and unkindness and name-calling, they're coming from fear. This is a woman who is facing death. Cancer was in her brain. She had endured 14-hour surgeries. Cancer was in her spine and had cracked her spine. And she was a tough gal. And this is what people do when they're frightened. So we come from, just my opinion, two places. We come from love, or we come from fear. Everything in fear is anger, it's rage, it's negativity, it's name-calling, and it's a forgetting that we're all children of God, made in His image and likeness.
There you go.
That makes every human being extraordinarily special. And Mom couldn't remember this because she was so frightened. She was like a frightened little child. And if you can ponder that, then you find yourself in a place of love, compassion, and you have a desire to help more and to love more.
Mm-hmm.
We always have a choice. This, I think we can respond in anger the same way, but we never, ever are aware of the journey someone else is taking.
Mm-hmm.
There is so much going on in everyone's mind, body, heart, soul. And it's very easy to react. But I believe that our God calls us to love.
Right, well said. I absolutely agree with what you just said there. Earlier I had asked, and I wondered if it was what the answer was, did she Did the fear that caused her to be difficult happen at toward the end of her life, or did she have some kind of, was that her personality early on in her life as well?
I think Mom was always tough. Mom was always difficult. I can remember times in my life coming in, as we all do, when we think we're in crisis and we come to our parents saying, get over it. And Mom would say, get over it. I'm watching Archie Bunker. She loved Archie Bunker. Or she'd say, get over it. I'm watching Andy Griffith. So to answer that question, Mama was Mama. And when you only have one, it's all you know. So I always thought of her as just Mama.
Sure, of course.
But reflecting, yes.
How many siblings do you have?
I have two.
And where are you? At the top? Are you the oldest?
I'm the oldest, yeah. Okay. I'm the oldest.
And was your dad around? Was he in the picture?
My father was in the picture initially when Mom was diagnosed. And he was an amazing man, very athletic. He was offered a movie contract when he was young, very handsome, about the same age as Mom. Played tennis 3 times a week, but the stress of Mom's cancer, I got a call 5 o'clock in the morning, well into the first year after Mom had cancer, and I thought she had passed. And it was my daughter telling me that my father had passed. He had got up for a glass of water and succumbed to a heart attack during
the
night.
Oh, wow.
So this was all during my mom's cancer journey. And we think the stress of that was way too much for him. Mm-hmm. And he was very, very worked up that his candidate did not win the presidency. So this was all the same period of time. Mm-hmm. He never had high blood pressure, so now Mom is operating without her husband.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you feel the same anxiety when your heart stopped?
When my heart stopped, you're talking about my 50th birthday,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Actually, I didn't, Robin. I'd been in Venezuela lecturing, touring, and... My birthday's the day after Christmas. It happened on my birthday. And I thought I was just tired. And the family was bringing luggage in. And I just slowly went down and was very peaceful. I mean, very peaceful. And I have a very rare health problem that places me in less than 0.25% in the world. I leak potassium.
Oh.
Potassium feeds the muscles, and the muscle is, the heart is a muscle. So I take this every day of my life to stay alive. I was a Duke for 20 years. But to go back to your question, I was very, very peaceful and was carried in an ice storm by ambulance to Augusta Medical Center, where I woke up 4 days later. I remember the doctor saying, Mrs. Hancock, do you know who the President of the United States is? And there were 4 doctors around the bed, my family around the bed. And I didn't know where I was, but I was alert. And I responded to the question. I said, yes, everyone knows Hillary Clinton is president. And my husband quickly said, oh, my God, she's back. So humor has always worked for me.
That's funny.
Yeah, I hide in humor a whole lot. And for me, it works.
So you can't drive your car to your own funeral.
Yeah.
But when you get to heaven, do you get a car? Because I'm thinking, if there are harps, if there are harps, there's got to be cars.
I think, and in the case of your brother, if he wanted a car, there was probably a great one waiting. Probably a great one waiting. But certainly to be with God, to be serious for a second, is the ultimate healing, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I absolutely agree with you. I love the way you have the ability to tell a story, by the way. You were holding us all spellbound and kind of did our job for us, but, I mean, there was nothing we could say. You were doing such a good job. So is book writing something that's new for you? Obviously, you've done a lot of stuff. Is this going to, will we see more books?
Yes, hopefully you will be seeing more books. This is not my first. This is my third. Back in 1981, I wrote Be a Light and never thought I'd write again. And under extraordinary circumstances, wrote Wake Up America, which did very, very well for me. But I was in a master's class, if I could divert a second, at the University of Richmond, studying world religions because I'm so interested in how we're all connected. And the professor from Columbia had read both of my books and took me aside one night. I didn't know she'd read them. And she said, "May I say something without you taking offense?" And I said, "Of course." And she said, "Your books are very well written, but they are facts, facts, facts. There is no you in them. There is no personality in them. I think you need to try that." And I thought a lot about it, and it's true. My other books are very safe and factual and well documented. But this one was tough for me, as I said. One, I didn't intend to write it. But two, when I reread the journal, it was very, very difficult for me. Mm-hmm. And it meant putting myself out there. You know, Larry, you know, Robin, as public people, you try to keep that personal side of you private.
Yes.
So there is a part of you where you can live your life as Robin or live your life as Larry without intrusion. And I think what I did was, to use poor terminology, I intruded on my own life, and I thought, wow, mm-hmm. I'm really vulnerable now. I've put myself out there.
Yeah, that's exactly
I've
right.
I put the pain out there. I put the sorrow out there. As a radio personality or TV personality, we're not paid to cry or weep or sob, right? We are supposed to be smiling and upbeat. I can remember in television, my boss one time at NBC, my grandmother had died, and I loved her very much. And he gave me a day to go to the funeral and get back. And my eyes were swollen. My face was swollen. I looked like Who Did It and ran. And I went and said, "I don't think I can do the show." And he said, "I'm not paying you to not do the show. You're supposed to be a professional." And so I learned very quickly that my private life is to be treasured, and it's private. And there were expectations, as you have and I have, in our public life. People aren't interested in our bad day.
Mm-hmm. Right,
they want you to come out and shine and talk to people and make them smile and wake them up in the morning.
That's right. Tell them
about glass-bottom boats and make them happy.
Anne Marie, thank you so much for being on the air. The book is called You Can't Drive Your Car to Your Own Funeral. You will love it. I have a copy here. If you want to call me, I'll put your name on it. The number is 622-9622. I found your book on Amazon. And you're getting really good reviews. I love what one person said. It's a holistic, uplifting, and Christian guide for the caretaker. Kind of a sweet summary of the review.
And I like that you say only love heals and love is forever. That really touches my heart.
I firmly believe it. I think we all need to do everything we can by all the means that we can and all the ways that we can, and all the places that we can, and at all times that we can, to all people.
Nice. And as long as we can. Well, I think we have somebody who wants the book. Let me give it away, and then we'll say goodbye. Good morning. Did you calling for the book?
This is Cheryl. It's a wonderful interview, and thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. It'll be waiting for you. Cheryl, you know where we are, right?
Yes, sir. Thanks.
Okay, you got it. It'll be here.
Thank you all.
I think you got a hit on your hands, Anne Marie. Thank you for being on the show with us today.
Well, I think you too are a hit. I think you're terrific, and I'm so grateful and humbled to have had the opportunity to chat with you.
Thank you so much. We will share this online in the recorded version. Thank you. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting from the Paddock Mall Studios, this is WOCA, Ocala, Gainesville, The Villages, 1370 AM, 96.3 FM, The Source.
Here is your one-minute news brief. Governor Ron DeSantis has signed a bill that prohibits Florida's government agencies from releasing photos, video, or audio that show the killing of a person in an act of mass violence. The governor also signed a new law yesterday that allows high school seniors serving in the military to wear their military uniforms at graduation. SpaceX successfully launched its Falcon 9 rocket yesterday for the Starlink satellites mission. A man has been fired from his job at a Milton, Florida Wendy's restaurant after a video that appeared to show him bathing in one of the restaurant's sinks went viral. They call it America's Seaplane City, and yesterday the city of Tavares beefed up that image. Now people can sign up to take rides over Lake Dora, starting at $50 per passenger. The University of Florida's College of Journalism and Communications has partnered with Disney in an online master's program, and Daytona Lagoon is offering free admission to all active and retired military